Blog Talk Radio.
The motherfucking saga continues.
Yo, yo, what's up, world? It's Badass Thuggin' like I usually do. And you better turn it up, bust some speakers out, cause we off the motherfucking cuff. You dig how we do it? Dog Pound Gangsters 2000 and beyond. Blech.
What's up with it, y'all? Man, don't change that down. This your player partner, the legendary Cocaine. And you tuned in live to Off the Cuff Radio. Better not touch that down. Wait.
Yeah, this is Cassidy, the hustler. And right now, you listening to the Guillotine. Show them the respect they deserve, man. Off the Cut Radio, man. Y'all already know how they doing it, man. I need y'all to stay tuned. They've been doing it for years. So show them the respect they deserve. And you heard it out of bars, mom. Easy.
Keep it moving like this. Yo, this your boy Rampage. You're not rocking with the best. With Off the Cut Radio. Classic. History. Fix your face to all you haters. We off the cuff, baby.
What's up, everybody? This your girl, Bonnie Dollars, the queen of trap, representing Crenshaw, and you are now tuned in with Off the Cuff Radio. What's up?
What's up, y'all? This is Miss Irresistible, giving a shout-out to the live show on Friday nights, Off the Cuff Radio, and I'm live from the 704. Make sure y'all tune in for the blazing hot music.
What it ain't, what it do. Chilly Chill from that original Lynch Mob. Off the Cuff Radio, always where it's at on Friday night. West West, y'all.
Yeah. My thumping ground, but I move around. Hey. You can catch me in
I'm going dick or down. Oh, you say you want a bitch, you looking like a fucking clown. Ho, Captain Save a hoe ass nigga on my post ass niggas. You just want some lights, you don't want no smoke, ho. I don't need a fucking picture from a motherfucking leecher. Sit your ass right on the bleachers, listen to the fucking teacher. I don't need a fucking picture from a motherfucking leecher. Sit your ass right on the bleachers, listen to the fucking teacher.
All right, man, what it is, man. We are episode 526 of Off the Cuff Radio. I'm your host, King Eric, the Media Assassin, and this show is sponsored by Buddy Boy Entertainment, sponsored by Da Vinci Clothing, sponsored by Jesse Boutique, Core Financial. Got my host, T-Max, with the facts on the line. Well, I'm going to get him on, but we got Pittsburgh Pat in the building. What's good, bro?
Yo, what's up, man? I'm sponsored by Pennsylvania State Food Stamps. And what's going on, man? How you doing?
Hey, man.
How you doing,
good,
brother?
Man. Good, man.
Kicking,
you know,
huh?
Rest.
Crazy times we're
rocking
in right
it,
now,
yeah,
bro.
You know, rocking it.
Yeah, crazy
wild
times
time,
we're in right
bro.
Now, man.
Wow.
This shit is crazy.
You know what they say? The world
wild.
Is evolving itself.
Yeah, man. This whole day is just crazy, man. Like, I don't know. It's impossible not to talk about it either, man, because it's kind of, it's some real shit. Like, you know, I'm talking about the Kanye shit. Like, I just think it's wild, bro. It's like, he's losing everything and shit, and like, I don't know, man. I just don't know where all this righteousness was whenever he said slavery was a choice. You know what I mean? They didn't care about that. You know what I mean? They had, like, all them companies still broke bread when he said that shit.
Yeah.
He said some shit about them J-words, and all of a sudden, I better be careful or they're going to take the food stamps out of my account.
But, yeah, man, but you know what's dope is, though, we have a great balance of dialogue going on. We can go on this topic here. But tonight is about the man of the hour. You know what I mean? We played two of his
my
songs.
God, man.
Straight good hype up energy, dope energy. He's been looking to build with us on Off the Cuff Radio for a minute. And he's finally on the line with us right now. So, Pat, give us an introduction on who we bringing on the show tonight.
Look, man, this is my boy. He's I've been rocking with him for a few years now. Been wanting to do this interview for a long time, man. It just shit happens, you know what I mean? But I don't even know how I ended up meeting dude. And then, like, he kind of just was somebody I saw at music online and shit. But, like, when you're doing this, like, everybody got a fucking SoundCloud link that wants you to listen and all that. But I just kept seeing dude post shit. And I'm just like, man, like, his music taste is crazy. Like, you know, like, I couldn't pin him down. Like, so then I, like, gave his music a chance, and dude is, he's hard as hell, man. He's from Michigan. Not exactly sure what part we'll ask him. But let's bring him on, my boy, Mr. Cisco. What's going on, bro?
What's good, man?
What's good, bro?
My God, Cisco, man. What's going on, man? It's been a long time coming, man. How you doing, man? What's going on with you?
I'm good, man. I appreciate y'all having me on here. Like you said, it's been a long time coming because I've been rocking with a lot of the interviews y'all been doing for a while because I used to see y'all name a lot with, like, a lot of different interviews from, like, artists that I wouldn't expect to have interviews out here. So just from that aspect alone, that y'all go get some real underground legends and things like that, I respect that shit.
Yeah, man, I just look
That's
at it
what
like,
we all about.
Yeah, like I'm blessed to be from a place that didn't really have like rappers that everybody knew, you know, from Pittsburgh. So we rocked with everything. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So like, I just kind of think like, you know, I'm 36 years old, man. So I grew up in the 90s, and there's a lot of shit that was crazy good back in those days, man. But if you didn't have like a major deal, you didn't get the like national shine.
Mm-hmm.
But you being from Michigan, like, you know what I'm talking about. Like, there's geniuses. There's geniuses in Michigan that maybe the whole world don't know, but there's pockets of people all over the country who get to know who they are and overseas and shit. And So I just kind of like to inform everybody of those artists and shit, like those people that I look at as legends, and many other people do too. And I just think that I want everybody to be able to tell their story. Like, we got a good following now and shit, and like, I hope that all our interviews do numbers, but if not, like, it's still cool for every artist to have that for them too. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you're always going to have this interview to be able to share with people. So if people were like, oh man, I like your music, like, you know what I mean? You'd be like, oh, check this interview out I did 2 years ago, and you know, I talk about like everything. You know what I mean? Like, I just think it's cool to give everybody the platform to be able to like tell their story and shit. You know what I mean? So I really wanted to get you on.
The most is, like I say, it's just like the fact that y'all go get folks that may not have interviews out like that, and you'll go get the, say, like the third or fourth member of a group that people tend to forget about that was an important part of that factor and things like. Like, y'all make sure that everybody gets their just due, from whether it's the fifth man in the group to the first man to anybody, and I respect the fuck out of anybody that just, like, really studies this hip-hop history, this, like, real vast hip-hop history.
Yeah, man, I appreciate that.
That's
man.
What it's all about, man. That's what it's all about, man. It's also mainly bringing integrity back into talking about the music, because it seems like in today's, you know, media and the way the climate is, the music is, like, second and third.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a lot different now. Like, for as much as it's at your fingertips, like, you can put music out there and all that, like, it's easier to do that nowadays. But at the same time, kind of makes it a little harder, because I've said this on the Eric a few times, like, it's for us even, like, for us to pull some guests, like, we have to let them know, like, hey, like, we've been doing this a long time. We interviewed a lot of legends and shit. We're not just some dudes that have a record button on our phone. You know what I mean? Like,
mm-hmm.
We take it serious. We've done a lot. We accomplished a lot. So it's like, you know, so it's the same thing for artists. Like, how do I know that you're not just some dude that downloaded a YouTube beat and just said some basic shit on it? Like, you know what I mean? There's a lot of those guys
right
out there. So it's like, you have to figure out a way to stand out. And that's what got me on your shit, was because I don't remember which two songs I heard, but they were totally different. And, like, I love that. Like, you know, I got, if, like, one time I might get some shit that gives me, like, a 3-6 Mafia vibe. And another time
mm-hmm.
I get
right
something that sounds more like Midwest type shit. Like, I like that you don't box yourself in, because, like, I rock with your shit, man. Like, I got several Cisco playlists on my phone, and
I appreciate it.
I just love how you, like, that's just a question I want to ask you. Like, your talent's undeniable, bro. Like, and I think you know that by now. Like, some people that are very serious about music and shit, like, they rock with you. You're very talented producer and artist and shit.
Appreciate it.
When did you know that? Like, when did you understand? Like, was this always something you wanted to do? Or did you just kind of start fucking with it one day and it kind of came easy to you and people fucked with it so you kept it going? Like,
what's wild is I originally started out as DJing as a kid. Like, my pops used to have some CD turntables, and I used to make, like, little mixtapes back in, like, elementary school. So then it graduated from making little mixtapes to start learning about chopped and screwed music. So I started going through like a real heavy DJ Screw, Michael 5000 Watts, Ron C phase. And I taught myself how to chop and screw music. And then from there, I taught myself how to make beats. Because at the time when I started making beats, like around, I want to say, 2007, 2008-ish, maybe around that time. It wasn't really many YouTube tutorials out to learn everything. So it's like I had to sit there and teach myself how to do it. And plus, I was bad as hell in school, so my brother was like, huh, you going to sit down and you going to learn something to do with your bad ass.
That's what's up. That's what's up. Now, like, where do you want to take it? Like, because I mean, you got the talent down. You got the story, because that's a cool story. Like, that's a story that you hear other people that made it tell. Like, oh, I was a DJ when I was a kid, or you know what I mean, just fucking around with my parents' shit, and used to hear this music. And, you know what I mean, like. This shit's been in you from the start. Is there something that you want to, like, you want to keep going further? Because you've made a lot of progress since, like, it's just a little time that I've met you.
I think my,
you know what I mean?
I think my main end goal is I just want to have a huge collection of music that people could go to. And it's like, one of my favorite producers of all time is Jay Dilla. And you look at the year that he passed, but how much work that people are still finding to this day of his. It's mind-blowing. So I want to start building a catalog like that, so even long after I'm gone, they'll be like, what the fuck? He did this over here? Where the fuck did this come from? Where? Wait a minute. He did this? So it's, that's more so my end goal, and just try to work with as many dope folks as I, like dope people that, as I can, really.
So you actually, like, you kind of remind me, like, you don't sound like one of them, but you kind of remind me of Esham a little bit, because...
That's another one of my influences.
Yeah, like, you're not afraid to step outside you, like, and do something different that maybe nobody else is doing. You don't box yourself in. You have albums upon albums. You produce yourself. You know what I mean? Like, I think that's dope.
And then,
you know what I mean? And I like how you also give the nod to your influences. Like, one of those joints you just listened to, like, we hear 3-6 Mafia in that. You know what I mean? Like, and I could tell that's like, that was your aim, like, making that Mafia shit. Like, you know, I know you worked with Cedar Six, too. You know, shout out to them.
Well,
but yeah, I like that. Give that nod, and you know what I mean? So, like, and I'm glad that you want to keep going with this, bro, because, like I said, man, you got a style that stands out, and, you, like, appreciate the music. You don't just say shit just to say shit. You know what I mean? You actually appreciate the art form of it to, you know, to even appreciate screwed and chopped music, because screwed and chopped is a acquired taste. You know what I'm saying? Like, you either get it or you don't. You know what I mean? And I know someone else is. That's where they're at right now. They're learning how to. You know, they've already learned, but they're DJ Lil Mane. He's doing a lot of screwed up shit, and he, like, truly understands what DJ Screw really was. And, you know, shout out to Ron C, too. I interviewed Ron C before. That was, like, next best thing to Screw to me, him and Mike Watts, you know what I mean? But, yeah, like,
what
to learn.
What I love about Ron C and Michael Watts is it's, like, the two different styles that you would hear, because you would hear Michael Watts with more of the, he more so like changed the chopped and screwed game with the computerized shit that he used to be doing, like the different fader effects and bring back effects and shit like that. Well, Ron C is like as close to screw as you're going to get, because he still keep it original with the turntables and everything's not perfect. It's not all the perfect chop or the perfect bring back or the perfect scratch and things like that. And that's something that I truly appreciate of Ron C, like 100%.
Yeah, definitely. And what you said about having catalogs and catalog music, I still find myself finding shit that, like, DJ Screw did. Like, damn, I didn't know he did this. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
mm-hmm.
I didn't know he had a chopped and screw version of this joint. Like, I think a lot of people get confused and think he just did, like, Houston shit. Like, not at all. Like, I found some, like, old classic Sebo shit that he did before.
Mm-hmm.
Like, anybody that knows Screw knows, I think Sebo, I think he said Sebo was his favorite rapper. Because, but, yeah, that's what's up, though, man. When did you get into, like, the underground world when you started making some ground? Like, did you come in alone? Because I know you used to, like, have, like, a crew with you and shit. Did you come in alone and, like, join up with somebody, or?
When I first started, it was more so just me and my brother. So I want to say around early, mid to late 2011, early 2012 when Raider Clan started popping off. And my brother, he was just, like, hit up all the artists that he seen, like, connected with Raider Clan or got a song with somebody with Raider Clan or whatever, and he'll hit them up and get their emails. And he'll just give me the emails, and I just send a whole bunch of beats. Like, I used to be known for flooding emails with a whole bunch of beats because at that time I just had a whole bunch of them just sitting there. So it's like, I don't want to send one or two and then they don't get you. No, I'm going to send you about 10, 12 of them, 15 of them motherfuckers, and shit, hopefully you like something out of that pack.
Yeah, that's what's up. Just flooded everybody out. They had to fuck with you, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, your beast is jamming too, man. It's like, that's like, every time I listen to your albums, man, I'll give them a quick listen. I listen to, like, the shit you're saying and all that. But then I give it another listen and listen to the actual music of it. And just,
mm-hmm.
I don't know, man, there's just something about it. You're kind of one of them dudes that, like, if I listen to a song or two, I'm kind of stuck on that the rest of the day. I just keep fucking with your shit the rest of the day. And I mean that. Like, you kind of, like, ruin other shit for me for the rest of the day. You know what I'm saying? Like, but it's just, that's a compliment to this, like, you take it serious enough to, like, when you hear your shit, it puts you in the mood to hear more as well. So, like,
yeah,
I can't listen to this joint without listening to this joint. I can't listen to this album if I don't visit my favorites off this album. Like, you know what I'm saying? So, like, it ends up, like, just making me want to just go in, you know what I mean? Like, go in on you all day, like, listen to that shit all day. Like, what's your
honestly,
favorite? Go ahead. I didn't mean to cut you off. Go ahead.
I just wanted to say, honestly, I'm really glad that you pay attention to that, because one thing I feel like a lot of people sleep on is, like, my sequencing of my tape. Because, like, mm-hmm. I really put in a lot of time on how I want it to flow. Like, granted, I may not be the best lyricist, but I'm going to give you something that you can feel. If I may not impress you lyrically, I'm going to impress you production-wise. Or I know what type of artists sound good over these type of beats, and I know how to orchestrate it all together to make a one cohesive listen.
Yeah, I totally get what you're saying, man. Like, I can tell that everything you do is calculated. It's not just you don't take any shortcuts or anything. You make sure that everything sounds right together. This verse is better as the first verse. The second verse complements the first verse. You know what I mean? Like, it's very well structured, and, you know, it's more than just making a beat and saying shit over it. You know what I mean? Like, you actually make you do the music part too. And a lot of people don't understand that part. They think you just got to have bars. Like, there's more to it. You know what I'm saying? Just like, as a producer,
exactly.
Even, I'm sure you can relate. There's more to just making a nice beat. You know what I mean? Like, the beat is kind of, it sets the mood of the song. Like, so you can make a nice beat, but it might go to waste because you didn't make that beat with anything else in mind, so there's not really, like, a theme to the beat. So, like,
right.
There's not really much you can do with it. Like, you can't really rap to it. But your beat's, like, the beat matches the vocals. It matches what you're saying. You know what I'm saying? Like, you do that perfectly, man. And that's why I was saying about you giving a nod to your influences and shit, because there's all those guys we mentioned, man, they're very calculated in what they do. And I think it took the rest of the world a while to understand that. Like, all the props that DJ Paul has been getting as of late, like, that's cool. But, like, the shit that people are saying about him now, like, I don't even pay attention to it because, like, man, we've been seeing that. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
right.
I knew this DJ Paul when I was a teenager. Like, you know what I mean? Like, how you were saying about us interviewing the third and fourth members of the group. We understand, like, how important, like, imagine people, like, listening to 3-6 Mafia and not understanding how important Lord Infamous and Coop were. You know what I'm saying? Like,
exactly.
That's a huge loss. And you can hear it.
That's the foundation.
And, like, the albums that are just Paul and Juicy, like, not to take anything away from them, but how important those two members were to 3-6 Mafia is just insane. So, like, their losses were definitely felt. So there's other groups like that out there.
Because I know if Lord Infamous or Koopsa was alive, Lolly Lolly would never have been made.
Yeah. True. Very true. Very, very true, man. Yeah. You've worked with Steven Stritz a few times,
about, right? You know what's dope about, I was going to say, well, you know what's dope about Detroit is it's like a gumbo of many different styles, man. Like, y'all observe the game in a different lens. Like, y'all study the Memphis style. Y'all study the West Coast. Y'all study Texas. And y'all put all that into one. And that's what makes that. And what y'all got a dope battling scene as well. You know, Eminem, he brought that to the mix along with D12. So y'all got a great variety going on.
Definitely. I say it all the time, man. Detroit. I'm from Detroit, Michigan.
Okay. Just making sure. I wasn't sure.
Yeah, but one thing I always said about Detroit, when you listen to our production, it's literally sped up Memphis music. Just higher pitched drums, but when you listen to the melodies, like, you could take a Detroit melody, slow it down, throw some Memphis-style drums on it, bam, you got a Memphis-style beat, but you could take that same melody, speed it up, add some higher-pitched drums, bam, Michigan sound.
Huh. I never even thought of that, man. That's crazy.
Yeah.
I'm gonna have to listen to it. Like, listen for that. That's how producer shit. Y'all hear shit like that.
Yeah,
like,
they call it tunnel vision. That's what it is. Producers have that tunnel vision.
Damn, I'm gonna have to keep that. That's
a crazy observation. That had a tunnel vision because it's like, ever since I got that tunnel vision, I can never listen to music the same anymore. It's like I listen to music on a way deeper level, like. Some folks will just hear hi-hats, 808, and that's, you know what I'm saying, claps and things like that. Me out here, okay, what kind of guitar did they use for this part? What kind of plucks did they use here? What's that bass synth right there? What's this right here? I start noticing a whole bunch of other different things, and then it's like sometimes when I hear some shit that inspires me, it just runs my mind rampant, and I won't stop until I get something that emulates that sound that I'm looking for. Because it's like, I say one album that forever influences me because I consider it a flawless album is Eshon Dead Flowers. I just want to make an album that's as fucking timeless and classic as that.
Okay. I was more of a closed casket dude, but I mean, Dead Flowers is. I mean, Judgment Day night, that shit is slept on too. And Kill the Fetus, that shit. I mean, Eshop got a lot of shit that, like, I don't know if he'll ever get, like, his true props. Like, maybe because of, like, the content, you know what I mean? Like, that's a hard sell. Mm-hmm. but, I mean, if people would, you know, not be biased and, like, sit down and listen to this shit and realize, like, how young he was and, like, he really...
Yeah, that's what made me the biggest fan of him.
Mm-hmm. And he was really just him and his brother, you know what I mean? And what, like, how he influenced the whole city and ended up being a lot more than that, but, like, to really, like, comprehend what he was doing at a time where, like, nobody was doing anything close to that. Not even just with his content, but, like, the sounds, the beats, like, his production was just ridiculous to, like, when I interviewed him, I asked him, he's like, to be honest, like, Boomin' Words from Hell was just kind of an accident. Like, I didn't really, like, know what I was really doing at that time. Like, I just, the shit was just kind of natural to him that he just didn't have much to work with. So, like, he just made these sounds and he liked how they sounded and just
mm-hmm.
made them into a beat and rapped over it. You know what I mean? And then, like, once he, like, saw the impact it made, he's like, oh, okay. So he started studying a little more, and, like, he made money. So he was able to get better equipment and all that and, like, really took it serious. But he's one of those guys that, like, you know, he sees a different, you know, he sees a different world. Like, he sees, you know, he comes out, he sees differently than the average person looks at it. And that's, like, how that separates the great ones from the good ones. You know what I mean? Like,
my top three.
Your top three Eshan?
My top three Eshan albums, like, in order is Dead Flowers, Bruce Wayne, 1987, and then Male Dominance, because sound nothing alike, but they are just like, bro, how does one person sit down and fucking think of shit like this? And then not to mention the other classics like Closed Casket, Kill the Fetus, you know what I'm saying?
Judgment Day, bro.
Volume 1 and 2, A1, Yola, Sacrificial Lamb, yeah. Like, I studied the fuck out of Eshan, and it's like...
Suspended animation. Yeah, man,
yeah,
and even if he misses, like... You still get it, and you're like that Venus Flytrap album that he did. Like, a lot of people would say I didn't like it. Same with Suspended Animation. It's like, I don't know. I guess you either get that album or you don't. But I just liked how, like, experimental it was. Like, and it was, like, chaotic, but, like, real organized and put together real well. You know what I mean? But he had so...
The only
thing, like,
I didn't like about those projects is that they just too fucking long. Like, they'd be, like, 32 songs. It'd be like, goddamn.
Yeah. And then, like, the EPs that he had, you wish they were longer. You know what I'm saying? So, like, damn, man.
Yeah.
Like, I need more of that shit. You know what I mean?
Fill a joint.
It's crazy. Like, if anyone listening to this and you haven't dug into Eshan's music, like, do it, bro. Like, I'm telling you, understand this is a teenager from Detroit in the late 80s. And the shit that he was saying is just crazy. And then listen to the production is just, like, there's nothing like it. There just really isn't. Like, he was in a different world. Like, that dude's like an alien or some shit. Like, for real. Like, the shit that he was able to do, like, when I interviewed him, like, I was kind of, like, nervous interviewing him just because, like, I think so highly of him that I didn't want to be, like, let down at all. And, like, I didn't, like, how, what do you say to Esau? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't really know
if
what to
I
do.
If I ever spoke to Esau, I would just tell him, thank you for all the years of inspiration, bro. You were like a guide to me with production. That's honestly
yeah.
what I would say to Esau if I ever had a chance to talk to him.
Yeah, bro. I mean, I'm probably going to be reaching out to him. I mean, I know him a little bit. You know what I mean? Like, he knows who I am. He's done my interviews several times. You know what I mean? But
mm-hmm.
it's been a minute since I talked to him. But
sometimes you got to catch the temperature. Like, you got to check out when you're interviewing people that inspire you. Sometimes you got to check your temperature first because you don't want to be disappointed.
Yeah. Yeah, and it was just like, I had a million things to ask him, but, like, you know, when you're doing interviews and shit, man, like, that dude has, like, a fan base. Like, it might not be 5 million people, but the people that he got are extremely loyal. And, like, they don't want to hear the same shit that somebody else asked them. Like, they don't want a Wikipedia interview. You know what I'm saying? And, but at the same time, like, you, the fine line to walk, because you have to also interview people as if there's people listening that that don't know anything about them. So you got to do it both ways, you know what I mean? So it's like,
mm-hmm.
but you don't want to overthink it at the same time and ask them some shit that's just, like, dumb, but you're trying to step outside the box, you know what I mean? So, like, it was tough, man. The interview went real good. Like, I'm glad it went down like that. And, like, I interviewed Dice and Mastermind, like, Poe
mm-hmm.
Hussein, like, that whole crew of his, Daniel Jordan, he's been on this
rest
show.
Rest in peace, TNT.
Yeah, rest in peace, TNT. But, yeah, like, I interviewed all those dudes, and it was cool to, like, just be able to talk to those dudes, just because, like, when I was a teenager, like, I would have never thought of that shit. You know, like, when I, like, interviewed AZ, like, that was insane to me. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, sometimes I had to, like, it's like, whoa, like, I think back to, I grew up on these dudes, and, like, I still be walking around listening to these dudes, you know what I'm saying? Like, so it's just crazy
yeah.
to have these opportunities, man. It's dope, but, like, you said, man, we live in a world where things are more achievable. Now you know where to start at now. Like, before, it was just like, where, how would I even begin to do this, you know what I mean? But now that we're doing it, it's just fun, man. It's like, that's the way I look at it. Like, man, I'm just trying to have some fun. Like, I ain't in it for no money. Like, shit's a hobby to me. And, like, I love this hip-hop shit, bro. So, like, I think it's cool having people, like, you know, Spice One on the show and, like, just letting them know that, like bro, like, you know.
Y'all were influencing.
Like to let these dudes know, like, bro, like, there might not be 10 million of us, man, but, like, motherfuckers that know, like, bro, you're on a different level to us, man. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is, so, like, you know, some of these people we interview, man, like, they really, like, feel that shit. Like, they've never been told that before. They've never been in an environment where they're not trying to sell something. They're not, you know, they're not trying to do nothing. Like, they're for real just being appreciated. You know what I'm saying? Because at the end of the day, man, if it wasn't for them, I wouldn't want to do this. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, so, like, you know, I still have a couple people to tackle on my bucket list, but, you know, I knocked quite a few out. You know what I'm saying? But at the same time, man, like, there's a few people that, like, I got into recently that, you know, I want to, you know, give my platform to, you know what I mean? Like, I interview a lot of the New Orleans people because, like, I quit doing radio for a while. I came back doing this show. And, you know, like, Soulja Slim, like, you know, that's top dog in me, you know what
mm-hmm.
I mean? So, like,
rest in peace, Soulja Slim.
Yeah, like, I interviewed a lot of his boys and his sister and shit. And it's like, man, like, to just let them dudes know, like, yo, man, like, you got a home. You don't got to be, you know, anytime you got something dropping, like, we're your spot, bro. We'll have you on every fucking time. And, like, a lot of those dudes, that are dope. They never really got told that they were dope. You know what I'm saying? Like, and like I asked those dudes, like, do y'all know, like, the impact that y'all had on, and like, every, like, Soulja Slim's a great example. Like, in Pittsburgh, like, if you didn't know any better, you would think that, like, Slim and BG and Zuby and all them are from Pittsburgh. Like, everybody here knows all their shit. They know every fucking word to every fucking song, like UNLV and shit. Like, grew up on that shit. And
I think when it,
once
I think
the internet,
when they living in the moment, you only see.
Yeah, like
so
when the internet came about, I learned
shit too.
Yeah, like when the internet came, I realized like there was a bunch of those little, like Jacksonville. They fucked with Cash Money and Soulja Slim real heavy, and a bunch of spots like all through the country. And you know, I asked like Magnolia Levy and Sam and shit, like do y'all know? Like did y'all know that we, like, there's areas out there that, like, rocked with you heavy, like, they're like, nah, man, because we never toured, you know what I mean? Like, Drew and Allen, Cash Money and shit, they never really, they went from, like, doing bars and, like, small-ass community centers and shit to worldwide stadiums, like, you know what I mean? Like, Drew and Allen, mm-hmm. like, he wasn't on our show, but on another show, Juvenile said that, like, exactly 1 year apart, he did a birthday party in New Orleans, and less than, they had 100 tickets, there's about 100 people there, and he couldn't even give away enough tickets for it to be sold out. Exactly a year later, he's performing on the Rough Rider Cash Money Tour. Like, it went from, like,
that's
nothing to stadiums. So, it's like, they didn't go around, like, city to city for a few years and hit, like, a nationwide tour and then blow up. Like, they were kind of local, then they blew up. You know what I mean? And like,
mm-hmm.
So Soulja Slim never got that opportunity. He was always locked up and shit. He never did a No Limit tour. Like, he went to Miami for the Source Awards with them. Other than that, he never did a No Limit tour. He did New Orleans shows and Baton Rouge shows. And, you know, he probably performed in, like, you know, like, the South and shit. I'm sure he'd been outside of Louisiana. But, like, he never did a nationwide tour or nothing. You know what I mean? So, like, to be able to show those dudes, like, the respect I feel they deserve and to just, you know, makes, you know, I can just do my part to do right by Slim, you know what I mean? And just make sure all his boys and shit have a chance to do, you know, the blue shit. But I want to ask you, man, like, what you got going on, though, bro? Like, music-wise, what do you got out right now? What are you working on, man?
Well, what I got out right now, I got the Last Action Hero tape out. That took me about 2 years to complete because I restarted that project like 6-7 different times. I done went through about 100-plus damn beats, scrapped song ideas, scrapped songs that was recorded, things of that nature. Like, I went through the most trying to make sure that was perfect. So I'm working on the deluxe edition that I'm going to call the Last Action Hero Director's Cut, because it's also a play on, like, one of my favorite Arnold Schwarzenegger movies growing up, Last Action Hero. So that's the reason behind the name of that. And then I'm also working on, like, a rock rap EP with Triloquist called White Boy Skull. And with that one, it's more so going to be, like rock remixes of songs, but also original songs too. I ain't gonna be on there singing or nothing like that. Just more so yelling and much more aggressive than what I normally am on my other projects. And then I'm also working on several projects with my homie A Minus, who's also from here, who then rapped with like Bodie James, Royce the 5'9", and a whole bunch of other like top tier lyricists and shit. So to be able to lock in with him is dope because we've known each other for over 10 years and always been in contact, but just never had time to like actually sit down and focus and lock in on something. So when he said that he wanted to work on the project, I just started loading them up. I just sent them about like 70, 75 beats of like all different hip-hop styles. Like, I done got deep into my Alchemist bag. I done got deep in my Large Professor bag, my RZA bag, and my J Dilla bag. Like, I'm really going in, studying these styles and implementing these styles into the production because I want it to be, I want these projects to feel like classic nostalgia, 90s, like the golden era type shit, but it's still current.
Yeah, bro, you notice, like, every time I post something of yours, I always call you the young legend. That's why I call you that, because you have, like, for one, you're hilarious, bro. Like, the shit you be posting, the conversations and shit, that I'm just like, bro, like, you made me laugh a few times, man. But, like, you know, your shit.
We always go at about Saigon and Joe Budden.
I was going to say, like, man, we would have this interview done a lot longer if you didn't have so many good things to say about Joe Budden. your shit is, like, it got, like, a new style to it, like, that, you know, younger people would fuck with it, but it also reminds me of some old shit. Like, it's a perfect balance of both. You get, like, that's a hard thing to do, like, with the artist today, from the artist that we rocked with in the 90s and shit, to be able to make music that, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, that can cater to both of those in one. That's hard to do, man. If you want to see how hard it is, just listen to that E-40 feature on the NBA Youngboy. Oh, that shit is bad, bro. Did y'all hear that shit?
I'm not a fan of NBA Youngboy, so I have.
Oh, me neither at all, bro. But I heard somebody make a joke about the E-40 feature he had, and I listened to it.
Well, no, I'll take it back. I'm not a fan of NBA Youngboy singing, but I did like the Like a Jungle remake that he did of that C Murder shit.
That shit's hard, bro. That shit's hard.
I can't even deny that one.
Yeah, even the mixtape that he dropped I think it's called 3840 Degrees, where they use the money
degrees,
sound
yeah.
a little bit. He has some knockers up there. I can't even front.
Well, it was reported that he signed with Cash Money. Yeah, that shit, and like, yeah, I know what you mean, bro. Like, if he would knock that shit off, yeah, because, I mean, those songs that I've heard by him, that, like, kind of give me, like, the energy, like, an approach that, like, Boosie had back in the day. And then, like, he'll have, like, 6 to 8 bars of, like, not just auto-tune, but, like, singing shit. And I'm like, you was killing that shit for a minute that I can't rock with now. Like, you know what I'm saying? It's hard for me, like, he'll have a joint where it's like, oh, that wasn't bad. And then it's like he loses me. He can't, like, keep me the whole album or nothing. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But that Like a Jungle shit that he did was very good. Yeah.
He needs A&R badly.
Well, I mean, it was rumored that he signed with Birdman. And in that 3800 Degrees, he's holding a Cash Money chain, the Rich Gang chain. And then...
I mean,
like,
but would we really consider Birdman an A&R?
Nah, but I mean, it's crazy though. Birdman, like right now, he has some people on his label. They're like, but they all have like the same sound now that they signed with him, and it's like, well, he would like, I can just tell that he's like directing them to make a certain kind of music, and it's like. Man, if you would just let these dudes be themselves, you got a few dudes that can rap and make some good shit. But, like, I don't know. And, like, they all just kind of sit on that. Like, you know, like, they'll put out one album and you don't hear from them for 2.5 years. And then they drop something you don't even know it dropped.
I feel Birdman is one of the most extremely lucky people in hip-hop. And I only say that because you got to think about how many years he's been a terrible rapper but have multiple platinum and gold albums being a terrible rapper.
Yeah, bro. And then, like, he gets these artists signed to him that, like, go down as being historic dudes. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, Birdman got to be one of the richest people ever. Like, and he don't really pay people like that. But, like, fucking, like, to have BG, Juvie, Wayne. What's that?
I'm like, let's be honest. I honestly could have did without Birdman on BG, any of the BG albums, if we want to be honest.
Oh, dude, trust me. I know. Trust me, bro. I know, man. I know what you're saying. But, like, it's crazy. Like, and you don't really, like, hear too much criticism of his raps either. But, like, bro, I swear, if I took Birdman's verse from one song and switched it to, like, with another Birdman song, you wouldn't know the difference. You know what I mean? Like, I swear.
They literally did that on
It's
All On You, Volume 1 and 2.
Yeah, they did. You're right. But I swear every verse is just Bird Boy G. The number one stunner. Like, I swear every verse is the same fucking thing. Third Ward, and he just adds a different name, like Soldier, General, Gangster, you know what I mean? He just rotates those words, and then has to be something about stunting or being a stunner, and
what let me know that Birdman was free from any type of criticism was when nobody offered pushback when he said, I like to fuck him in their ass while he beat up Nobody offered no feedback or nothing. I'm like, oh, this over here. He can do anything at this point.
You know what really got me though with this, man. Like in the beginning, where that whole incident happened with him and Wayne, they kissed the first time, and everybody in the room was just acting like nothing happened. Like I look at that, I had the Cat Williams mentality. I was like, you know, I can see you.
Bro, and everybody's name, I mean, fuck, bro, like, his group's name was the Hot Boys. Like, what the fuck is that? And everybody's name is Little or Young. You know what I'm saying? Everybody's name is Little or Young or something, has something to do with being Little. Young Kirk, Little Wayne, maybe Gangster. Fucking Juvenile.
The classic that he was able to pull, though, and was able to, like, successfully capitalize off of them. It's just like, that's why I consider him one of the most luckiest dudes in hip-hop, because if it was just going off of rap skills alone, he would not have made it off the porch far.
Yeah, bro. And, dude, he's always looked old as shit. Like, off top of your head, how old is Birdman?
Nobody knows.
That sounds. Nobody fucking knows. You don't know if he's 30 or 80. You have no clue. Bro, he went from baby to bird, man. Okay, but, like, I remember when he was
a baby to a bird.
A rapper named Baby, and you look at him, and he's like 60. You're like, what the fuck? How's this man Baby, man? He's like 60. And then, like, out of nowhere, bro, he was a blood? Like, where'd that come from? Like, that shit never happened in Louisiana, like in New Orleans and shit. That shit was never.
Oh, that shit was wild to me.
Just one day, they just showed up with red rags on.
This is really seeing rap changing. Do you feel that this is where you slowly start seeing rap going to a weird lane? Like, things started that wasn't really accepted before started really become a part of the norm?
Well, I think now, like, that's kind of the thing. Is like, it's not even really like your relevance isn't based on really your music as much anymore. for real, man, there's so many dudes that their relevance is based more on their interviews and what they do on Instagram Live and the shit that they say, like, just randomly, and their just name is everywhere. So then they put out their album, and it does well because the people riding for them will fuck with the album. The people that are mad at what they're doing will fuck with the album so they can talk shit online. And that's kind of what I see. Like, bro, that's why when any of them, these, like, new dudes, when they say anything about Tupac and Biggie and shit, bro, I don't ever say a word about it because that's just, you can just do that to trend for the day or two. You know what I'm saying? Like, and people have done that shit. Like, and that's, there's such a short attention span nowadays that everything comes and goes so fast that I feel like a lot of dudes just do that. Like the dude Blueface, who's on Cash Money, which is crazy. Like him and WAC 100, bro, what do they do? Blueface had that one song, that Tatiana joint or whatever. But everything else, you know, I mean, if you look at these, how often do you see any of these dudes trending because of their music? Only the heavy hitters do. Nah. Everybody else is just what they say, what they tweet and shit. You know what I mean? Like, so, and I think that, like, a lot of dudes, they get, in, you know, that they say some disrespectful shit about anybody, not just, like, you know, the older generation, if they just say disrespectful shit, they know that that brings them attention, too.
And like, that's why you have Game doing the 10-minute diss to Eminem for no reason.
Yeah. No reason. None at all. There's no, nothing happened, bro. Like, that's why, like, I didn't really pay it no mind at all. And, like, I don't talk about Eminem on the internet, bro. Like, I hate that shit, bro. You can't, like, you can give them all the credit in the world, but the minute you say something off, they fucking attack you. Like, you know what I mean? And, like, it's just
so.
I
don't give a damn. I'm from Detroit, and I say some of that shit trash. Don't get me wrong. He's had classes, but he has dropped some bullshit in between classes.
Oh, yeah. I mean, to be honest, bro, I mean, like, I'm definitely capable of liking some Eminem shit. Definitely. Like, I think any honest person will say that there's definitely Eminem songs that are good. I mean, you can't deny that. Like, my favorite Eminem album was The Eminem Show. I just thought that he turned, like, he was more serious. Like, if the songs were more serious, it was kind of him, like, showing that he was, like, a real MC and not, like, a joke or a gimmick, like, because that was kind of the knock on him early in his career. It was like, well, Vanilla Ice and shit, but, like, he just kept rapping his ass off, and everybody was like, all right, like, he's good. But then the knock was, yeah, he makes all that goofy shit. And so, like, he came with that album, and then, like, them features with G-Unit and all that mixtape shit, that's my favorite shit from him. I think he went the hardest. I think that's the most, like, intricate shit that he did at that time, and that's my favorite shit from him. But, like, yeah, there's been a lot of, you know, whack shit. Like, you know, it's some shit that's just like, nah, bro. But, like, I don't think you can be honest with yourself without saying that as a talent, he's one of the greatest ever, like, just as far as talent goes. Now, like, when you talk about, you know, like, if you're not into his albums and shit, like, to me, you know, it goes beyond just your talent. Like, do you have good music? There's plenty of people that can rap their ass off, but if they're not making content that you can feel and relate to, everybody's different, you know what I'm saying? Then I don't put you in that category. Like, you know what I'm saying? I'm not saying that Eminem's not in that category. I'm just saying I put people ahead of them because there's just too many albums that I don't like from them. You know what I mean? But, like,
yeah,
I'll never knock him as far as his ability goes. He's great. For real. And he can be hilarious sometimes, too.
Yeah, like, I'm a hardcore Eminem fan, honestly, because, like, shit, I even got the special edition of the Eminem show that came with the bonus DVD that had the cartoons and shit on it.
Oh, that's what's up. That's what's up. Yeah, but at least you can admit, like, see, some people can't admit that there's anything bad. You know what I'm saying? Like, that he's never done anything that wasn't good. They just think that the whole thing was great. And it's like, I don't know, that's hard to do. Like, that's why I don't really knock him for nothing, bro. Like, it's hard to do when you're expected.
Like, I'm not one of those dudes that, like, oh, well, this album won a Grammy.
So, you know what I mean? Like, I don't, that's not my measure of if something's good. Like,
right.
Cardi B's album beat Victory Lap by Nipsey Hussle for Grammys. You know what I mean? So, like, that's not the MLB album. So, like, but, however, neither is record sales or anything like that. However, if you're pressured to be number one every time and to make a good album every time, then, like, I do, I feel like you deserve credit when you deliver. So, like, Jay and Eminem and shit, bro, every time they drop, the microscope's on them. Like, this has to be good.
Yep.
It has to sell well. So when it does perform how it's supposed to perform, when you're aiming to do that, you deserve credit for it. You know what I mean? Like, you deserve, if you aim to be number one and you did it every time, you deserve the props for it. Now, just because a song did well doesn't make it a great song. But when you're going number one and or platinum every single time for 2 decades, you deserve some credit for that, man. You know what I mean? Like, you definitely deserve props.
You know? I don't care what nobody say. Eminem literally got 3 diamond albums.
Yeah, like, there's only, what, like, 9 or 10 albums in rap history that are diamond, and I think he has, what, 3 of them, right? And then
exactly,
and one
that's
of them, 50, another one is 50 Cent. So, like, that's kind of an Eminem album. You know what I mean? Like, he's had his hand in a lot of that shit.
And it's like, I can't do nothing but respect it. But then it's crazy because it's like, even folks like Eminem play an influence on, like, my different styles and shit, because it opened up my mind to, like, different styles of production and things of that nature. And then it's like, the one thing I like about Eminem music is sometimes how outside of normalcy that it is, because he'll be talking about, like, some crazy wild shit and be like, how the fuck does somebody think of some crazy shit like this?
Yeah. I wish we would have got the Eminem Isham collab. Like, imagine if things played differently. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, played out differently, whether it was with the whole Isham and Eminem thing. You know what I mean?
I don't think.
No, what, y'all? The sad part about
for the fact. I don't think it would have worked out for. I don't think it would have worked out for the fact, because the way that Isham was back in the day, I just got done listening to the audio book of the ICP Behind the Paint book, and Isham pulled up on Violent J, put a gun to his face just because he said "fuck Isham" at a show. So it was like any type of slight or anything, Isham wasn't playing that shit. So I don't think it ever would have been a timeline where Eminem could have said anything dealing with the acid rap line, and Isham would have took it cool.
Right. And you know what? All right,
so sorry.
I had to tell people. I was going to say this too, man. Like, people that keep on thinking that the OM is coming back, if you read that article that he did on XXL, needless to say that those days are over, because he said that he's not focused on making the best rap albums no more. He focused on being the best rapper. So I was like, okay, we're not gonna get the crazy stuff no more. We're gonna get a lot of the rappity rap shit he been doing.
Basically.
Yo, man, look, I'm gonna have to close out my part of this. If you guys wanna go ahead for a couple more minutes or anything while I ask Eric. Make sure Cisco just gets the floor to, like, promote everything he wants to and his handles and all that.
Absolutely.
I just got to wrap it up, man. I got to get my niece and shit. I didn't realize it was 10 o'clock on the school night and shit. But,
great to finally talk to you.
Hell, yeah, Cisco. I want to have you back on, too, bro. Yeah, we do, like, other shit, too. Like, we did, like, dedication episodes to Soldier Slam and BG. We're going to do a few murder ones soon. But I'm going to be hitting up the Midwest artists a lot. And like I'm going to have Mass. I'm going to hit up Mastermind. I'm going to hit up Esham and Dice and try to get the Dayton family back. I'm going to be doing all of that, bro. So, like, you can even come in as, like, a guest co-host for tonight and shit. You know what I mean? So, like, you know, you're my people, bro. So, like, I might have you back on to co-host something for me just to top it up about certain shit. Or,
just keep
you know, if I have
an interview with something.
Yeah, and if I have an interview that I feel like you would want to sit in with, you know what I mean? Because you could add a lot to it. You know, that's always a good thing. Like, I have my boy on to co-host with me when I interviewed Ron C. and shit, it made it doper because you had somebody that was studying him to, like, ask him questions and shit that, like, I wouldn't know to ask, you know what I mean? So, yeah, man, I want to thank you for coming on, bro, and, man, anytime you want to come back on, you're more than welcome to, and anytime you got some music, bro, let us know, man. You know, I'll always plug that shit for you, and we'll always play your shit on here, too. But, all right, y'all have a good night. And again, still, before you hang up, make sure you plug everything where everybody can find you, where to find your music and all that. But
yeah,
I appreciate you, bro. I'm going to roll out. Eric, I'll be in touch with you, man. And y'all take care, man.
No doubt.
All right, bro.
No doubt, man. No doubt. So, yeah, man, like while we're on the line, man, just let people know where they can find your stuff, Facebook, Twitter.
You can find me on all streaming platforms. You can find me on all streaming platforms. It's Mr. Cisco. You got to make, for some eyeball last reason, you got to put Mr. dot in the space after the dot and then put Cisco. I have no clue why it pops up on Spotify like that. I haven't a clue at all. But, yeah, you can find me on all streaming platforms as that. You can find me on Facebook as Ernest Cisco. It's Mr. Cisco fan page that folks can like. You can find me on Instagram as Black Moses, BLVCK underscore Moses. And, yeah, that's pretty much it. Just Google is people's best friend.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yeah, man. So we're definitely going to wrap this up a little early because I got to get going myself, man. But it's definitely, we're going to definitely push that line for you. We're going to definitely keep that movement you got going on. As long as you keep on hitting us with that consistent music.
Appreciate it. I appreciate it. I'm going to keep it coming, man.
Yeah, we'll definitely hit you up for a part two, like, you know, when we get a Michigan episode on the line.
For sure, for sure. Like I said, just tap in with me and we can set something up and then, like I say, just come through.
Let's go, man. So on that note, we about to sign up out of here. Episode 526 is over the books. Big shout out to Mr. Cisco, repping that 313.
Appreciate it.